The keynote speaker I'm going to introduce now is from Sweden. Thomas Myhrlund is an art historian, a writer, curator, and an art critic with a special interest in artist books, printed matter, and music. As a director for the Ørsted Art Museum for over 20 years until 2008, he organized many projects concerning artist book and has also inspired a generation in Sweden to produce artist books. Thomas is currently writing a book about artist books from a Swedish point of view, which will be published very soon. Thank you.
So, first of all, of course, I thank you very much for inviting me. It's such a thrill, and it's such a thrill because I'm in the midst of a, I would say, 10-year-old research work, writing, etc. And it's so nice then to be able to come here and talk about a tiny, tiny little corner of the world. That's Copenhagen and South Sweden. And I do not now have to say how important the Danish scene is after Piz Prota, because it is. So it's this. What I will talk about now is the influence or the connections between the Danish artists, artist book scene, the room that was made for artist books in Copenhagen, and South Sweden, that is Malmö. It's a very tiny city. And we start with this one. Jeanette Lindstedt, Letters. Why do I open with this one? Because it touches the nucleus itself of the codex of the book, the letter. And it touches and demonstrates also one thing that is very typical of artist books. I will get back to that later. That is, artist books want to come out in the room around you. They are not, it's not sufficient just to remain in the room created by the covers. So this is a book turned inside out. And this presentation will be examples. Of course, I will say too little about too many, but I will try to first go backwards to the 30s, see where it all started, then I go back again, hopefully to land in today's art. And on the way backwards, it's nice to stop in Copenhagen, 1997. Why? Because in this year, in the Academy of Art in Copenhagen, a lot of young artists, women from Sweden and from Denmark, gathered, and they started a group called Kvinder på Værtshus, Women Down the Pub. Why this name? Yes, because those days, still in Denmark, some pubs were only for men. Of course, these women went there and drank beer, but not being allowed to do it by the men in the pub. So this is how Kvinder på Værtshus started, an extremely extraordinary feminist group. And in 97, some of them made a smaller group calling, and they called it LAB. No one knows why. LAB. And of course, they also made a catalogue presenting themselves. All the members, Lisa Sternbecker, Annika Lundgren, I will not tell you all the names, Maria Finn, etc., made a book. And then they also introduced a common project. That was to go to special venues, institutions, etc., in the art world, that were famous, for example, Documenta, for example, Vienna Art Museum, and take over the guided tour to make an alternative guided tour. And this is Annika Lundgren, who is in the Vienna Art Museum, having a guided tour, an alternative guided tour for the visitors. But there is one but. Not one single word in this catalogue was true. Everything was fake. Everything was fake. They had appropriated the format of the catalogue. Catalogues are normally not artist books. They have appropriated the format of the catalogue and turned it into a piece of art. And this leads me to, of course, 1962. A big leap backwards. The great artist bookmaker, Hardest Reed, had a small exhibition in a gallery in Stockholm with little glass pieces, and he made a catalogue. And this catalogue looks like any catalogue. And when you open it, it was a description of all the world famous huge pieces of glass he had made in different churches in Copenhagen and otherwise. And also, as you see, an article, Danish article, about how famous he was. And also a picture from his studio with Audrey Hepburn, Lucio Fontana, Willem Sandberg, and other guys who were famous in the art scene those days. Of course, nothing was true. Everything, every single full stop in this catalogue was a lie. So, and this means that the glass piece that exposed, they were all nothing. The piece of art that was exposed was the catalogue. And this was a great scandal, because some of the critics that wrote about the exhibition, they referred to the catalogue, and they were, of course, they didn't like being writing things that were not true. So it's an artist read. I will tell you first who he is. He's quite an important guy, because he was a co-founder together with Asger Jorn and Jürgen Nash of the Bauhaus Situationiste. That was a group that was expelled from the Situationist movement. I will talk more about it later. In 1961, and they founded a house called Drakabygget, Dragon's Building, in northwestern Scania, South Sweden, and they called it the House of Freedom for Art. No wonder then that the Gruppe Spur, the great Gruppe Spur, they fled from the police in Munich. They were going to be prosecuted, so they fled and moved to Drakabygget, and they started editing their magazine in Danish and Swedish, and this is Gruppe Spur in Exil, and you see, this is how it looks like. It's from 1961, Gruppe Spur in Exile. So they moved there, and we take a big, great leap again. Because this is something. Something is happening. It's so much, many things happening there around the early 60s. So, but it must have started somewhere. So, we go to Copenhagen, of course, 1935. A group of artists called Linje, the Line, young artists, and they were progressive, avant-garde, and one of the artists made this book. Whether it's about an artist book or not, I don't know, because there were many books made in Denmark in the 20s and 30s, but they were all isolated. It was not a movement or anything like that. But Willem Bjerke Petersen, Minnes Virksomhed, as how memories work, look like this. But I will not start the history of Danish artist book and maybe artist books here, but here. This is not an artist book, it's an absolutely normal catalogue. Nothing is fake in it. But you are surprised when you read the names, because this 1937 exhibition was a yearly exhibition held by the members, the absolutely unknown members of the group Linje. It was like Asger Jorn, Colin Pearson, Mons Bala, all those guys who were to be very famous in Cobra in the late 40s. They were there, they were very young, and they had the idea, well, why make it such a boring yearly exhibition as normally? Let us invite those guys who we like. In on the continent, great people, in art, we like them, so they did. And look who came: Kandinsky, Paul Klee, Max Ernst, Yves Tanguy, Sophie Teuber-Arp, Piet Mondrian, Hans Arp, Theo van Doesburg, Jean Miró. They were invited and they came. And they had a real show. And the Paul Klee exhibition is very famous in Danish art history. But I will stop by Max Ernst. Because though Asger Jorn and the Colin Pearson and those young Danish artists, they had an artist friend from Sweden, C.O. Hultin. He lived in Malmö. That was extremely boring, living in Malmö as an artist. So he as often as he could, he went to Denmark and he got acquainted with the young, his young fellow artists like Asger Jorn and those. They were not at all famous then. And they were always discussing our art. How shall we distribute it without anyone else earning money on it? How shall we directly get in touch with our audience? How shall we find new platforms for art? That was very important. Very important. Then they came, they went to this exhibition. They came to the Max Ernst part. And Max Ernst, you could have his famous photage. They were there, you could buy them if you wanted to. And also the little book or the portfolio, Histoire Naturelle, from 1927. It was there. You could buy it. It cost 400 old French franc. That would be about $4 or $5, something like that. And you know the book? It was heliographic reproductions of the Frottage by Max Ernst. And then those young guys said, well, that is what we will do. We will make books not to reproduce art, but we will make books that are art itself. And C.O. Hultén, he worked in Åkerlund & Rausing. He knew all, that is later Tetra Pak, so he knew everything about the about printing, etc., how you produce printed matters. So they started discussing this, how to make this. They were preparing to make books. And then came the Nazis and occupied Copenhagen in April 1940. So the Danish artists started, they made an artist's magazine instead. It's called Helhesten. The Hell Horse. It looks very, very normal because of the Nazis. They didn't want to want it to be confiscated. But here you can see what they were discussing. On the where's the pointer? That. On the left, you see a spread from the Helhesten and. These artists, they loathed classicism. The Mediterranean art, what the hell shall we do with that? Why should we care about it? They loathed the limit between popular art and classicism and real art. They thought everything was art. So this is an article by Asger Jorn explaining tattoos as great art. And then on the right, but this is, that is... This is the first issue of Helhesten. In the article by Egil Jakobsen, there is a little photo, has nothing to do with the article, but instead of writing it, which could disturb the Germans, the Nazis, they put this picture in. This is the role of art. Two little girls scribbling on a wall, illegally. So it's, and of course you understand that we are on the threshold to Cobra, the Cobra movement. This is really how it all begins. And in Sweden as well, they tried to make artist magazines, especially artists who were refugees, because the refugees were not at all let into the Swedish society. So some refugees, this is Endre Nemes from Prague, Adja Junkers from Estonia, and Egon Møller Nielsen from Denmark. They made two handmade artists' magazine, Us, and you can see what you can see there is a collage by Egon Møller Nielsen, but this no one cared about this in Sweden, so it just passed. But peace came, and everything was mentally prepared. I wouldn't say it is an explosion, but anyhow, quite a lot of printed artist material was produced between the fall 1945 and 1949. This is a part of it. I will get back to some of those, but I just point out Svendalsgård, Grovive. And here is some Cobra stuff. The Cobra was founded in November 1948. And this is a little Cobra library, Artist Libre, free artists. And each artist was given a little pamphlet to make his own stuff in. So, this is Jörgen Asch and his brother, Jaske Jorn. That's the first book. Salvi Dudu, and this is Karl-Henning Pilsen, Drömmedikte, Dream Poems, and it is written, this is the Hultén's copy, and Pilsen has written, "See you next time in Malmö," and this is how it looks like, and this is the Hultén, 1947, this is said to be, this is the first artist book in Sweden, Drömmar ur bladens händer, and it's dreams from the hands of the leaves, 10 footar. He hadn't forgotten the impression from Max Ernst, of course. And we go, this is Richard Winter, Grovive, but hello, what's this? It shouldn't look like this, 1948, 1949. This is visual poetry. This is absolutely too early, because you know, in 1947, Isidore Issou, he founded the Lettrisme. This is lettristic works. Le lettrisme, that was how to work with the language and words itself. And but look at this. What do I find here? The Linian, this artist group, their catalogue 1949. Look, when I just open it and then look what I found. Look here. These are Danish sound poems, concrete poems, visual poetry. It's just 1.5 years after Isidore Issou. Look at this. Aagaard Andersen, great Danish artist. Absolutely marvelous for its time. So, what I'm saying, and what has been proved by Piss Protha, is that Denmark and Copenhagen was a perfect room for experiments and making artist books. Because artist books do not only need printers, they demand a context, a room that makes them being made. And see, Hultén did this. This is from 1949. It's a collective work with some of his friends. And of course, this comes now. Of course, two of the most worldwide well-known artist books ever. It's Guy Debord and Askeon. They turned the lettrism into the situationism. 1957, the Situationist International was founded. Askeon was there, Guy Debord was there, and Guy Debord and Askeon made a book together. It's called Fin de Copenhague. And 2 years later, they made this one. It's a memoir. The cover is made by sandpaper. And look at one thing. Look at the drip technique. This is what Siegel-Hultén and Askeyor found out when they were experimenting 1945, making drip paintings, like Pollock did later. So, and this is quite interesting also, because it's this is another spread of the book, and because it is here that in the Situationism, Guy Debord crashed with Askeyor. Debord saying, we need no art to save society. Art is just for money's sake. And Askeyor said, oh, fuck you. You don't understand anything. And then they founded the Bauhaus Situationism. How do you remember? On the street, you remember the Gruppe Spur? And they moved the whole thing to northwestern Scania. And it remained there and was well working until the 80s. And they had a gallery in Lund. It was called the Gallery St. Petri. It was a small gallery, but extremely important. Because this guy, he had connections all over the world, especially with Denmark, of course. You have to see here is Tom Krøyer, Danish artist, and this is a book he made for the Gallery St. Petri. And this is, now we're getting somewhere. This is Henrik Hare, edition after hand. Most important editions. A publisher of artist books from 1972 till 2012 or something like that. This is the Gallery St. Petri, 1975. The opening of Henrik Harris' exhibition. And this is Henrik Harris' first book. It is a book called The People's Book About the Defense of the Country. And I can just say that Gallery St. Petri also invited Bourgeois Press. They had several exhibitions. Carrie Schneemann was there, Ulysses Carillon was there, and I tell you that this gallery had great impact upon South Sweden. New editors started, etc. And he had, as I told you, contact with the Drakkebygget. And Drakkebygget had now spread out all over northern Scania. And this is a woman called Mette Ore and a Danish woman called Anneliese Bock. They worked with the Galerie St. Petri. And this is a little book they made, a little artist book from 1975. It's called Bilder I Kløften. There's pictures from the quarry. Here they are. And another leap now. We are getting closer to where we started. And I dare to show, since you mentioned it, I dare to show something that I was involved in. Because when I was director in the Eastern Art Museum for 6 years, I had a tight cooperation with a printing workshop in not far from Eastern. And we worked with Danish, German and Swedish artists making books. And this is one of the first things we did. It is Swedish artist Ulf Trotsi, who made a book, together with Inge Christensen. Inge Christensen being not only Denmark, one of Europe's greatest poets. And Inge Christensen and Ulf Trotsi made this together. And now we step into our times, just a couple of years later. Now there is an art academy in Malmö. Not that they are educating people using books, but many, it attracts very many Danish young artists. With a great Danish tradition, they brought it to the Malmö Art Academy, and then some of them remained in Malmö, some of them went back to Copenhagen, some of them are working both in Copenhagen and in Malmö, like Dieter Ehlersgaard. This is Dieter Ehlersgaard. And she has taken the picture. I have the picture from her. It's not me who have cut her head off, tell you. So, but this is a Master of Arts work. It's an archive with 600 pieces in it, and she has made each piece she has made by hand herself. What the books that are there, written, she wrote them. The paintings, she painted them. The documents, she made them. And this archive has a nice name, Unbreak My Heart and Say You Love Me Again. And this Dieter, she also made an artist book project together with Eva-Marie Lindahl. You know all the Taschen books, Taschen Bücher. They're in all museums. They introduce you to great masters of the art world, and it so happens that 90% of them are men. So Dieter Ehlersgaard and Eva-Marie Lindahl, they decided that, okay, we will make, in two museums, we will make book, they made bookstores selling Taschen or the normal Taschenbücher, and then they also made all the Taschenbücher that were about women. So, but if you, like here, grab Agnes Martin, or look at Mary Doppelheim, and all those, this means there's 50% women, 50% men. But when you grab a book, wanted to know something about Mary Doppelheim or Agnes Martin or whoever, that the pages were blank. The whole project was called about the blank pages. And Dieter is also an important, plays also an important role in Danish and South Swedish art life, because she's one third of the so-called Woodpecker Projects. Woodpecker Projects make exhibitions, they edit books, and they play an extremely active role in today's art life. And this is the other guy who is there, he's called Jens Henriksson. This is a book he has made, and it's an autobiographical book, because all the glass plates in there, they come from the greenhouse or hothouse that his parents had. They had a commercial greenhouse, and that is where he grew up. So he has worked a lot with his theme, and then here he has collected the plates with different colors that were used according to the weather, and he put them in this is a kind of press. You use that to press flowers to collect them so that they dry. Jens Henriksson and Woodpecker Projects. We are still in this surroundings today, Malmö Art Academy and Copenhagen. This is Marie Ravn, a young Danish artist, and she makes books. The Invisible World is a project that goes on forever. It starts like this. Okay, you must find a book that has been thrown away. No one wants it. And then it picks it up and takes page one and two. Take it out. Then you look for the next book somewhere else, and you find a book and you pick out page three and four. Etc. etc. After a while, in the beginning it's easy, but after a while it takes time to find them, because I think she's now up to page 600, something like that. This is book number two, and she's working on book number three now, and she binds them. Then comes the book binding. She binds them together. These old books get new structures and. How can I explain it? Structures and systems when you do this. You can see it, yes. Because this is how it looks like when you make a system out of it. She looks through this and she finds out different systems, different rhythms, different hazardous connections, and she writes it on the on the wall, and then they work as graphic scores. You know, graphic scores are quite normal in music. You can say you tell rhythm, you tell sounds, etc. Then she interprets them herself. Now, we are getting back to where I started, the nucleus of the book. A book is not a silent thing. A book, really from the beginning, was something that did sound. She made her books systematically, or the systems of the books take room on the wall, making graphic scores that is interpreted by her. You can also put it the other way. We are back, of course, in this gallery, the Frie, the Frie exhibition building. Back in 2016, they had an exhibition called Kunstabäuer Wildwachsene, Artist Books Wildly Growing, showing that the artist books want to come out in our room. Our room connects with the books. A bunch of young artists were invited to make installations, and these installations in the rooms, they were connected with the books that were made. This example I have here is Mette Winkelmann and Anis. They're two Danish artists. They looked for venues and places made only for women in Copenhagen. Then it could be hospitals, could be prisons, etc. And then they rubbed surfaces off, walls, floors, etc. And then they made a book of it, and some of those venues, they were torn down. So they took, I don't remember which one this is, but anyhow, it's a window from one of the buildings made only for women, and it was exhibited together with a book, and you see through the window pane, you can see that. You can see one of the frottages made from of this venue. Thus, meaning that one important character of artist book is the will to get out into our room. This is Kornhall, Kirkemeng. The left piece is called Periplum. And that one, the other one is Gridigrit. And they are Danish, they are educated in Malmö and Stockholm, and now they are back in Copenhagen, working with a project, Gestus, which is a publishing house. And I just thought I want to explain the long roll. It's a book roll, of course, but it's a roll that contains everything that was written about in one day in a newspaper. Why? Those of you who have been to commercial printer shops, they know what it is. It's the paper you use to clean the machines. And they call it periplum after Estrapan. Well, it's a seldom word. It's the way that the sun travels in one day. But I looked at this, the periplum line up in Estrapan, and it was so nice because it describes very much in a poetic way what an artist's book is. Pound wrote, periplum, not as land looks on a map. Periplum, not as land looks upon a map, but as a board seen by men sailing. We stick to Gestus. This is the first edition. It's Marie Bonfils. She lives in Denmark. She lives in Copenhagen and she lives in Malmö. It's her first book. It's all handmade. An idea. Good books are cheap. It cost you $15, something like that. And this is how it looks like. All material is very haptic, all material. You see the rubber bands that are there to mark where you have read. Next edition, Ingrid Furre, and huge book. And it's called The Spooning. It was launched in a hotel. You had to tell Karen Hald or Kierkegaard that you want to go there. You could go there any time of the middle of the night or anywhere. Then they took you to a room where the book was shown. You could sit by the bed and look at it. And this is Kristina Bengtsson, as a Swedish artist in living and working in Copenhagen. This is an appropriation in a book of a book from the 80s about how to improve your company and earn a lot of money, shown by these little figures. They have appropriated that and made a book about this, and this is how it spread. It's in the Sydhavn station, this exhibition in Denmark, and Kristina Bengtsson is educated in Leipzig. This is the last picture. I have mentioned Copenhagen so much that I have to prove that I have been there. This is me, and on the left it's Kierkegaard. This is in a venue of Gestus, and to the right is the great Sjärina, one of the really great visual poets, Finnish, Swedish, living in Berlin. Now, during this speech, I have mentioned two German cities. That it's very hard to find limits for artist books. There are no limits, but next time I will maybe talk about Berlin. But anyhow, even if artist books have no limits, this lecture has to have a limit. Thank you very much.